Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Happy 2014. I hope yours is going beautifully. Mine certainly is. I am psyched. The face of this show has changed. I don't know how many of you have noticed that, but health to me is becoming a very concise bundle of, well, passionate chores, we'll call them. A Christmas list for yourself. Really, the gift of health is a bunch of actions. And one of those actions that we're going to talk about over the next 60 minutes to prevent one of those diseases that some, well, 25 million Americans suffer from. That's type 2 diabetes. And one of those gifts you're going to give yourself to make sure it's not you and it is you in ways you don't understand yet. We can say 25 million people have type 2 diabetes, but if you really get into what that means, those numbers are quadrupled. A good 100 million Americans, if not a good 150 million Americans, are suffering from a form of diabetes that we don't call diabetes. It's called hyperglycemia. What's diabetes? What does it mean when your doctor says you're diabetic because your fasting blood glucose is too high, because your glycosylated hemoglobin is too high? That's that funny little thing on your blood tests, HGB-A1C, glycosylated hemoglobin. We're going to discuss that today. What does it mean when your doctor tells you you're diabetic type 2, or you've got a touch of it type 2, versus what is underneath that, what lurks underneath it? That because it lurks, because it's not identified, is infinitely more dangerous. And I'm going to call that insulin resistance. I'm going to call that hyperglycemia. You've got to know the difference. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health, straighttalk.cc. This is about how your body cures you. If you can understand that, you can manipulate your body. If you can understand that, you can do the things you need to do. Get your sleep. Get your exercise. Stretch your body. Move your pHs. Clean your lymph. Clean your kidneys. Open your bile ducts. Balance the ecosystems in your gut. That's what health is. Allopathic medicine, outside of acute trauma, well, often they don't have a clue, and you know that. But my point to you is holistic medicine is missing the boat all too often, in my opinion. If you understand mechanisms, which means you have to dig deeper. So I'm going to give you this prayer, this mantra. If you have to dig deeper, and if you do dig deeper to understand mechanism, then you can understand how to use those wonderful herbs. Plants are there to be used. Herbs are there to be used. But really, the high end of this is to understand the mechanism and then appropriate the herb. That's the big picture. If you're new to the show, get on that website, straighttalk.cc. Follow the literature section. Pictures tell the story. I can do 10 shows in one with pictures. I've got lots of pictures today. All right, let's step on the gas. 25 million Americans, $200 billion. Let's talk about it. Picture number two. Take a look at picture number two. There we have it, a cell. All our cells make adenosine triphosphate, ATP, by taking glucose in. Everything's got to convert to glucose, and then it gets into the cell. You can't use amino acids you can't use fatty acids. Three things when you eat, building blocks, glucose, amino acids, fatty acids, proteins, fats, and sugars, carbs. Easy. If you run out of sugar, your body converts the fat and the amino acid into glucose. Same thing. Whether you're converting it through gluconeogenesis in the liver to sugar, or that you're just eating the sugar or eating the carbs that break down to the sugar goes to the cell. Picture number two. What is the glucose? What does the sugar do when it gets to the cell? It knocks on the door. Hey, cell, let me in. There's a receptor site. There's a special door to glucose, but the door doesn't open because insulin has not binded yet. Insulin is another chemical. It's got to bind to what we call the GLUT, GLUT4 receptor in the membrane of the cell. And when your insulin binds to that cell membrane, the door down the street opens to glucose, and the glucose gets in. The glucose is basically utilized through the Krebs cycle and then through oxidative phosphorylation, and it produces its ATP, which is the currency of the cell. That ATP then is appropriated to what? Repair the cell or give the cell the energy to do what the cell needs to do. Heart cell, brain cell, eye cell, kidney cell, liver cell, pancreatic cell, bone cell, muscle cell. You got it. There it is. Obviously, you don't have to be a scientist to understand that. You even learned it somewhere in grammar school. It's simple. So you've got the basic formula. Now, the problem. No, I'm not going to tell you the problem yet. I just want you to take a peek at picture number seven, picture number eight. I want to talk about the pancreas. The pancreas is the organ that produces the insulin. If you check the next picture, picture number eight, the pancreas, which has two functions, one of which is to produce digestive enzymes. The pancreas produces protease, lipase, and amylase. What does that have to do with diabetes in this show? Nothing. Pancreas has another function in a different part of it. The pancreas produces insulin through a bunch of cells called beta cells. Beta cells. Alpha, beta, gamma, delta. The beta refers to where the carbon bonds are. But the point is, the pancreas has these cells producing the insulin. Type 2 diabetes is not really about a problem there. In type 2 diabetes, you're still producing the insulin. The problem is, after you produce the insulin, after that insulin goes to the membrane of the cell, it doesn't work. It knocks on the GLUT4 receptor. It knocks on the receptor site for the insulin, and the cell membrane doesn't let the insulin in. It doesn't recognize it. It's numb to it. It no longer has an affinity for it. Something else is competing for that insulin. Something else is competing for that receptor site. So what happens in type 2 diabetes, for reasons we're going to get into, is that the insulin, when it knocks on the membrane, which is necessary because the next step is the glucose comes in, it doesn't occur. So we say the cell has now become insulin resistant. Now that's a deep word. That's not just a superficial statement. Insulin resistance, because your blood sugar is running too high, is an evolution. And it's an evolution that starts when you're 10 years old, when you're 12 years old, when you're 14 years old. All of us are working our way towards insulin resistance. It's almost what it means to be American. Better yet, I should say, it's almost what it means to eat garbage food on the international scale as all countries industrialize, as they refuse to fertilize, as they GMO, as they take the nutrition out of food, as they turn good carbohydrates into bad carbohydrates, as we destroy the ecosystem, as all these things occur on a global scale, people eat effectively nothing but garbage sugar. And this accelerates the process, and this isn't news to you. What is news to you? I'll tell you what's news to you. Picture number three, picture number four, picture number five, picture number six. Those are four different books. And each of those books, whether you're talking about the Bible's cure for diabetes, or whether you're talking about the end of diabetes by Joel Fuhrman, or whether you're talking about the diabetes solution by Dr. Bernstein, or whether you're talking about any of the dozens of books written by medical doctors, you can cure your diabetes. Now, this is really got to sink in. You've got to give yourself a moment. You've got to give your friends a moment. You've got to give your relatives a moment to really sink down here and take a look at this. Because this is not controversial. It really isn't. Which leads us to question why we're not being generally told this. Why are we giving glucophage? Why are we on glucotrol? Why are we being put on the whole string of pharmaceutical drugs that only control your diabetes? It doesn't cure your diabetes. It manages your diabetes. Why have we turned this whole diabetic thing into a special social club of people who chat on internet about how they should appropriate their insulin? This is an act of insanity. Really, amidst all healthcare, amidst all the shows I've done, amidst all the diseases people get, I don't think anything better demonstrates insanity than what we've done with the public in relationship to how high blood sugar becomes type 2 diabetes and how to deal with it. First of all, you can cure it. Get the book. Add the book to the book to the book to the book to the book. And next time your doctor tells you you need to stay on glucotrol or glucophage for the rest of your life because you have diabetes. And once you have diabetes, you always have diabetes. There's nothing you can do. Just say, I understand, doctor, but could you tell me this? I'm a little curious. And out of your suitcase, try this. Pull 50 books, 50, with 50 different authors, with 50 different case studies. Find 15 different YouTube links. And look at your doctor and say, listen, I understand that you may not be able to give me clarity here. If I can't cure my diabetes, then why are these people writing these books? You got to do that. This seems self-evident. It's not self-evident. You really and truly think that in the end, some part of you really, really thinks that you've got the death sentence. I can't emphasize this enough. So if you've got type 2 diabetes, get to the literature. And if you don't understand something else, it's not diabetes you should be concerned with. It's living with high blood sugar. So let's understand something. For whatever your dietary choices are, during the day, you have a blood sugar. That's common knowledge. There's a reading there. Could you possibly... Let's first say this. That blood sugar should really stay in the realm of 75, 80, 85, 90. It should be clearly under 100. People can function wonderfully this way. Suppose you're 18 years old. Suppose your child is 18 years old. Suppose you're 30 years old, 40 years old. Suppose not the slightest concern do you have about diabetes. Your doctors have told you that your fasting blood glucose is stellar. Here's the point. Despite the fact that when you walk into a doctor's office and have your blood drawn, and they tell you that your fasting blood glucose is quite normal, it's 90, it's 95, you have no concern. If throughout the day you're eating junky carbs, if you're even eating complex carbohydrates and having not optimal responses easily, we see this all the time. I have seen this time and time and time again. People functioning with their blood sugar are up at 130, 140, 150 all day long. That is the problem. Functionally speaking, your blood sugar lists, it lives at a level that would otherwise be called diabetic. But that's news to you. It's not, excuse me, it's not termed diabetes. And it's not termed diabetes because given 8 hours of sleep, when you test that blood sugar, getting up in the morning and not eating, when you test that blood sugar, you're only going to find that your blood sugar has dropped down again to normal levels. So understand that. You can go to sleep with high blood sugar and wake up with normal blood sugar. You can do this regularly. And what you're going to find then is you're going to escape detection. You can live all day long with your blood sugar up at 130, 140, 150, 160. You can live on a sugar high. You can for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. I am certain I have tested and seen this so many times. You can live for so many years, so long, with your blood sugar up at 150, 160, but when they test you in the morning, your blood sugar is normal. And the way healthcare works now, they won't even test your glycosylated hemoglobin, your HGVA1C. They won't even test that. What is that, by the way? Well, here's the way they figure it. Your cells use glucose, as I talked about a moment ago. But a better way to test how your cells are metabolizing glucose, whether or not your cell is insulin resistant, the much better way to do that is to test the glucose metabolism of the red blood cell. Sugar hits the blood, and the red blood cell, just like any other cell in the body, has to utilize the glucose. But that glucose doesn't need to travel to your little toe. Doesn't need to travel to your brain. It doesn't need to travel anywhere. It hits the blood and hits the red blood cell. So one of the more subtle tests, one of the finer tests, one of the tests that's a little bit more specific that your doctor will do, but often doesn't if your fasting blood glucose is normal, is glycosylated hemoglobin. Well, that's what that is. But that's not my point. Because hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people have normal glycosylated hemoglobin. They have normal morning blood glucose. And yet they are functionally hyperglycemic all day. And being destroyed and being damaged and working towards disease in the worst imaginable way when they're told their blood sugars are normal. And they go on eating just like they have been, and they end up being destroyed until one day at 60 or 65 or 70, when they're pushing cancer, pushing heart disease, pushing amputation, pushing any one of the number of diseases that come from living with high blood sugar but never being recognized as diabetic, then all of a sudden they're told they're diabetic. And that there are these whole host of related issues that they're also developing that they may have been developing before anyone ever told them they were diabetic. So you've got to, if you understand this, you've got to expand your concept of type 2 diabetes. Forget about fasting blood sugar. Forget about glycosylated hemoglobin. Forget about these nonsense tests. Go out and give yourself and get yourself what we call an AccuCheck. An AccuCheck. Look at picture number. Where did I put it? Picture number 22. Take a look at picture number 22. There it is. It's a simple blood glucose kit. Easy to use. You got to get those strips. Strips are expensive. They're about $1 a piece. They don't sell them with the meter. They don't sell them with the finger pricker. Yes, you're allowed to prick your own finger. The system hasn't litigated you out of that. Certainly it won't. It's a great little club we've developed. The type 2 diabetics. They get to prick their finger. They get to measure their blood glucose all day long. They get to chat with each other online. They even get some of the cost of this reimbursed by healthcare insurance. $200 billion a year it costs us to manage diabetes. And your body understands how to cure it. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. Get to the website, straighttalk.cc. Regardless of who you are, regardless of your age, regardless of your blood type, your ethnicity, your religion, regardless of anything, if you have two legs and you eat food, go to the drugstore and purchase yourself an AccuCheck. Learn to use it. It's simple. And this is what you're going to do. You're going to do on your own as you assume responsibility for yourself in your life. You're going to purchase an AccuCheck. And this is what you're going to do. You're going to give yourself your own glucose tolerance test. Now, what's a glucose tolerance test? Your doctors will order it for you. If really you don't want to do any of this and you have a medical doctor that you have a real relationship with, a good internal medicine doctor, they'll do it for you. They understand what we're talking about. If you have to pay out of pocket for the test, pay out of pocket. If you don't have the money to pay out of pocket or your health care plan doesn't warrant it, then do it yourself. And here's all you have to do. Get up in the morning and eat one of those sugary, carby, garbage breakfasts. You know the type. Eat one, even eat two breakfasts. Eat a lot. Eat a lot of food. Add dessert. Drink the Coca-Colas. Have the cups of orange juice. Eat the pancakes and the waffles. Throw some ice cream on. Finish it off with a chocolate sundae. Have a Coke or two in between. A croissant, a cherry croissant, a donut. Really load it in. There's no law against that. That's what most of us do in the morning. Really go out and pig out. A good 2,000-calorie breakfast. Irregardless of who you are. 1 hour later, take your blood sugar. Better yet, I skipped a step. Before you do this, take your blood sugar. 1 hour after you really, really hit it up. A good Christmas meal. Or do it in the afternoon or do it in the evening. But the point is, really go for it. A good 2,000 calories. A good 2,500 calories. Go for it. Sugar it up. And then measure your blood glucose 1 hour later. Measure it 2 hours later. Now, eat a lot. Just don't go out and have a donut. Have 10 donuts. Really, really do it. That's what a glucose tolerance test is. That's what it is at a hospital. They make you drink a lot of very sugary water. High fructose corn syrup or its equivalent. They push. They stress. They force your blood sugar way, way, way up. Now, if you're 15 years old and you do this, guess what? The blood sugar goes only up so high, and then it drops down real fast, normal, within an hour. But when you're 20, it takes a little longer. It goes up higher. It comes down not quite as low as fast. When you're 30, when you're 40, by the time you're 40, 45 or 50, and you do something like that, most people are going to find that their blood glucose 1 hour later is going to be up there at 250, 300, 350, 400, 450, 500. That's not good. I'm going to explain the chemistry of that. I'm going to explain to you why that's not good. And it's going to stay up there an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours. How do you know how long it's going to stay that high? What you're going to do is measure your blood glucose 1 hour later, 2 hours later, 3 hours later, and 4 hours later. You're going to keep measuring your blood glucose every hour until it drops down to under 80 or 90. In that zone again. A lot of you are going to notice that you crash after that and you get hypoglycemic. The blood sugar can't sustain itself at 80 where it should. It starts dropping to 70 to 60 and you get hypoglycemic. You get the shakes. You get the sweats. You're not coherent anymore. there's a whole process that occurs with that, with glucagon and your cortisol and your adrenaline. We're not going to get into that right now, but the point is, as ye rise, so shall ye fall. And your blood glucose starts crashing. So get up, test yourself. Eat a really heavy, carby, sugary, garbage meal. 1 hour later, 2 hours later, 3 hours later, 4 hours later. Get a baseline on yourself. The next thing you're going to do is just go about your day. You're going to go about your day and you're going to take your blood glucose 1 hour after you eat as you normally eat. As you normally eat. So yeah, we love that bread in the morning. We have a little toast and the croissant. Yeah, we just can't help it. We got to put sugar in the coffee. All these little habits. And what I want you to do after each meal, 1 hour after each meal you have, do this for a few weeks. Take your blood glucose and watch where it goes all day and where it drops and where it goes and where it drops. And what you're going to find if you investigate yourself this way is that for most of the day, your blood glucose is up at 115, 120, 125, 130, 140. But guess what? In the morning, when you take your fasting blood glucose, you know where your blood glucose is going to be? It's going to be 80 or 85 or 90. If you get up in the morning and you wait 3 hours, your blood glucose is going to be low. It's going to be at about 80 or 85. Not when you get up. Please understand what I just said. I said not when you wake up. You take your blood glucose two and a half hours, just like you do for those lab tests you get, where you wake up in the morning and you take a shower and you get dressed and you get nervous and you go to your doctor's office. By the way, as you're getting nervous, what do you think's happening to your blood sugar? It's dropping. By the time your blood is drawn, by the time you see your doctor, your blood glucose has dropped a good 15 to 20 points from the moment you've awakened. And that is when you get your blood glucose taken. What does that have to do with what I just talked about? Well, the answer is absolutely nothing. All day long, you're eating your normal fare. And unfortunately, you're finding that your blood glucose is up there all day long at 120, 130, 140, 150. Can you get hurt there? You bet you can. There's no two ways about that. Once you're in that hundreds range, once you're over 150, you are in bad shape. You're going to get sick. That is not good. That is detrimental. That's forbidden if you want your health. And yet, I guarantee you when you do this, you're going to find that in the morning, 2-3 hours into it, as you fasted, and they take your blood glucose, or you take your blood glucose, you're going to find out your blood glucose is normal. You're also going to find out your glycosylated hemoglobin may be normal, and this is the problem. Now, there's your experiment. You don't need to go to a hospital. You don't need to bother your doctor. You can do this yourself. But you won't. Better yet, you can tell your friends, but they won't. They'll say, oh, no, no, no. My blood test at the doctor's office, they told me I'm normal. I have nothing to think about. They have a lot to think about. And if you care, let them know tactfully. If they don't want to listen, then they don't need to listen. You don't want to force it on anybody. That's a waste of time. But here's the point. I want you to understand. You have to understand. Understand what? Understand this. Turn to picture number 12 and read this with me. I've got an article there, page 11, page 12. In fact, look at page number 11, picture 11. Picture 11 is about diabetes, this major health problem, 25 million people, $200 billion each year. It's a problem that is likely to further explode in the next few years. You bet it's going to explode. It did explode. It'll continue to explode. Now, the next page. Just quick, little, easy two-page article. But the next page now, page 12, that's the cruncher. You can see easily if you're on the page. Read this with Dr. Medici. There are a billion or so beta cells in the average healthy pancreas. A billion. These cells will make more copies of insulin meaning insulin molecules, every year than there are grains of sand on every beach in every desert in the world. I mean, that's boggling. Don't you love those little fun facts? When you become diabetic, you burn those billion cells out. How can we do that? How can you beat that many cells to death? But here's how you do it. Read on. B cells and every other cell rely on an organelle. Remember last week's show, organelle? That's a little factory in the cell. It's a little separate factory within all those little factories of the cell. And that little factory is called the endoplasmic reticulum. This organelle works to package, tag, dispatch all the proteins, including insulin. So the endoplasmic reticulum makes the insulin and then spits it out. Diabetes comes when the endoplasmic reticulum gets stressed and faulty. When this process occurs, things are not packaged properly. The body's response to this malfunction is drastic. It effectively destroys the cell. It does this by activating interleukin-1 and therefore inducing apoptosis. Now, what are they talking about? Pat yourself on the back because you can understand that statement. It's simply showing you what our bodies do. If you burn out a cell, if you say beta cell, produce insulin, beta cell, produce insulin, beta cell, produce insulin. Why are you beating on your beta cells? Because you're forcing so much sugar into the blood. Because despite not being diabetic, you're constantly forcing your beta cells to produce insulin because high blood sugar is no good. And to regulate it, you got to keep making more insulin. Well, at a certain point, those beta cells become damaged. And once they become damaged, the cellular intelligence looks at the cell and says, you know what? This place is such a mess. This endoplasmic reticulum is such a mess. This cell is such a mess that we're going to have to kill itself. We're going to have to signal the cell to create its own apoptosis, its suicide. So there's this process whereby if you keep beating on your pancreas, beating on your beta cells, eventually those beta cells are going to commit hara-kiri. They're going to say, life's not just worth it. If I have to live like this with no vacations each year, I'm done. Presses a few buttons in the genetics, and the cell kills itself. Apoptosis. Or it becomes senescent. It just becomes an invalid. It sits there like a very, very old person in a wheelchair that can't move, can't talk, can't speak, just about breathes, but can't function. If you beat a cell to death, it will become apoptotic or it will become senescent. It will also become malignant. That's not what we're talking about. In 2 weeks, I'll do a show on malignancy with some grand insight and perspective into that. But right now, you picture your beta cell every time you eat a piece of sugar. That beta cell having to produce insulin, 1 billion, and in a year as many grains of sand on every beach in every desert in the world, and you beat it relentlessly to death, literally to death. Guess what? I'm not talking about that. That's when you have diabetes because you can't produce enough insulin. I'm talking about insulin resistance. Catch this, you can. When we say you're type 2 diabetic, it refers to the process whereby the insulin doesn't bind to the cell, the muscle cell, the eye cell, the kidney cell, the heart cell. Every cell in the body uses glucose, so every cell in the body needs to bind insulin. The point is, when you have type 2 diabetes, level 2, the advanced level, is you can't produce insulin. What most of us are walking around with is insulin resistance. What that glucose tolerance test will measure is the other process, the prerequisite process, the process that's going on when you're in your 30s. What that glucose tolerance test, the one you can do at home, the one you can ask your MD to do for you at the hospital, in the doctor's office, what it will tell you is Once your beta cell produces its insulin and binds to the receptor site in the cell, how resistant is that receptor site? How quick will it bind the insulin, and how slow will it bind it? And of course, when it binds it slow, your body responds by producing more insulin. That's the purpose of a glucose tolerance test. So now you understand why, whether you're 70 and fully diabetic, or whether you're 50 or 40, and you're being told you're safe, you're not safe until you know through a 24-hour period what your blood sugars are. I don't care what you eat. If you eat donuts every morning, if you eat all the carbs in the world, if you're a carboholic, it doesn't matter. All you have to do is make sure that your blood sugar throughout the day stays at 80. When you eat a meal, your blood sugar shouldn't jump past 100. If it goes to 110, okay, but it shouldn't go up to 130. And if it does, it should come down to 90 or 80 within a half an hour or an hour. You have to profile yourself. Part of your health checklist is to profile yourself. Part of the questions your doctors, your holistic practitioners, so on and so forth, should be asking you whether or not you're diabetic or not, whether or not you care about whether or not you're diabetic, is where your functional blood sugar really lives. Why? Well, here's the deal. Why is high blood sugar dangerous? Well, I'm going to ask you to go to a picture. Picture number 23. Hyperglycemia increases the flux through the polyol pathway. Big words. High blood sugar, hyperglycemia. So you're not diabetic. Everything's normal, but you found out that you're running your blood sugar way too high all day long. It's up at 150 all day long, 140. You're hyperglycemic. You're living with high blood sugar. What that little graph is about, that wonderful little diagram, is telling you that there's a pathway. Polyol pathway, P-O-L-Y-O-L. And that pathway consumes what we call NADPH. So let's understand this. If you bind glucose into the cell, glucose, if you read the word inside that circle, if you're looking at the picture, aldose reductase, that's an enzyme. And if glucose is binding that enzyme, which it will in higher concentrations, you're going to produce sorbitol. This is sorbitol is toxic. And sorbitol has to be sorbitol has to be reduced with NADPH. And that processing of the sorbitol with the NADPH robs the NADPH from your body. Now, NAD, nicotine adenine dinucleotide, companies sell that. They sell it because it gives hydrogens out. It's its function. It's a hydrogen donor. It's useful to the cell. And as it processes the sorbitol, which normally isn't produced if the glucose concentrations are low, but is abundant, the sorbitol, if glucose concentrations go too high, which is hyperglycemia, uses up your NADPH. And now your glutathione, and this is where all of this swings, your glutathione. Check my show on heavy metal toxicity and Boyd Haley. On intracellular glutathione. Companies sell glutathione. It is the premier antioxidant. It makes lipoic acid and CoQ10 and all those wonderful antioxidants like vitamin C and vitamin E. They are subsets. They're minions. They're pawns. The bottom line before you get sick is Boyd Haley, and I've put Boyd Haley's link on the website, so just look up radio show literature and look on that article there. You're going to see it on Boyd Haley, or go to YouTube, put B-O-Y-D-D Haley, and listen to anything Department Chairman, University of Kentucky, PhD Chemistry, biochem, one of the most prolific, eloquent voices, speakers on the function of intracellular glutathione. Go check what Boyd Haley has to say about intracellular glutathione. And then look at picture number 25. Picture number 25 on the site. You see there, glutathione reductase. And if you study that, and we won't get into it heavily, but do this for yourself. Understand that when NADPH, yeah, we're going to expose you to that chemistry. When NADPH is utilized, it gives a hydrogen to glutathione and reduces glutathione. It takes its hydrogen, its H, and gives it to glutathione. It reduces it. But that NADPH isn't there. It's not there if there's too much sorbitol. And if there's too much sorbitol, it's because there's too much sugar. So hyperglycemia robs your cell of what makes intracellular glutathione. That's what's happening in hyperglycemia. In hyperglycemia, you are destroying every cell in the body. Every cell. Now, why the nerve cell? Why the eye cell? Why the kidney? Why do diabetics, who have raged this problem out of control, why do diabetics have this work? Well, the nerve cell, the eye cell, which in a sense is a nerve cell, and the kidney cell have a special little caveat. They don't need insulin to bring sugar into the cell. Let's go back to picture number one. Let's understand that now. I said in picture number two, not one, picture two, that the pathway is interesting. You've got a cell that to get glucose inside, for reasons stated, has to bind insulin first. And for reasons we've discussed, insulin doesn't bind. That's the normal cell. But the eye, the kidney, and the nerve, which is your brain, your spinal cord, all your peripheral nerves, all those little nerves that are in your toe. Those cells don't have to bind insulin. They just let the glucose right on in. Well, if you're going to increase the concentration of glucose in the blood, and you have cells that just let it in that don't even need to deal with this insulin nonsense, and your glucose concentrations in the blood, hyperglycemia, are going way up, which cells are going to deteriorate faster? Which cells are going to produce at a faster rate less intracellular glutathione? Which cells will suffer first from glutathione deficiency? The cells that have the higher flux of glucose into the blood, eye, kidney, and nerve tissue. Take that one in. That's fascinating. Every show I do, it's fascinating how that body works. And you've got to understand this. Your friends have to understand this. Your family has to understand this. Teenagers have to understand this. You got to know why you're going to get destroyed. Once you're shy intracellularly of glutathione, once you have ravaged your mechanisms, the cell will look at itself, because the cell will continually, over time, from functional hyperglycemia, destroy itself. The inside of your arteries. We tell you, yes, diabetes is linked to blindness. Diabetes is linked to neuropathy. Diabetes is linked to heart disease. Diabetes is linked to this and that and the other thing. Why are we not telling you? We have to be telling you. You must tell yourself and understand why. You must tell your friends that it's not diabetes we should be concerned with. It's its prerequisite, which is insidiously dangerous. It's what you don't see. It's always what you don't see. Your wisdom's taught you that. It's what you don't see that gets you. And what you don't see is high blood sugar does this, not diabetes. The strict definition of diabetes is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people that live with high blood sugar all the time. And as they're doing it, they're destroying their intracellular glutathione. See the name Boyd Haley. Get on YouTube. Watch a good 30 minutes of his show. He's got tons of YouTube sites. Free. For nothing. Hardcore. Hardcore guy. Understands what happens. Add high blood sugar to the list of things that deplete the body of intracellular glutathione. And of course, you know because you listen to this show, that going to your local health food store and getting glutathione, buying it, and ingesting large quantities of it is a joke. It is an absolute joke. It doesn't work. The purpose of these mechanisms, the purpose of understanding these mechanisms is to teach you why and how you must, you're obliged to, in the name of health, make sure you live with low blood sugar. Rather, you live with blood sugar at 80, 90. And if you're going to do that with carbs, then do it. And if you're going to do it with meat, then do it. However you're going to do it, you must do it. So you see the perspective here. Go to my archives. Pay the $25 for 136 shows. Well worth it. A great deal. And understand that those shows are exercises for you. If you're broke, if you're impoverished, if you can't even get out of bed, listen to the shows. If you can't get counsel, listen to the shows and start doing those things. And if the ride is bumpy, if your long, dark journey into night is a little bumpier because you can't get supervision, that goes with the territory. You'll develop a lot more faith that way. But you can do whatever you want to do for your health. You can prime your body to take care of its problems. The body heals itself. And there is science behind that. And when imbeciles, idiots, lowlifes in the academic and medical community say there's no evidence to support that, then please understand they are ignorant. Because if you go into the literature, and that's why I attach so much literature, that's why so many doctors are speaking out, medical doctors, scientists, holistic practitioners, everybody. Understand you are being ripped off and lied to, and you deserve better. You've come here to make your dreams come true, and you live in agony because in the end, you realize you've been betrayed. That's a choice. That is a choice. And science gives it to you. This is the irony of it. You're trusting fools when you're told that so many of these issues are not resolvable. Okay. So, it sunk in. You have an understanding now. Bravo. Let's take a look at the science here. Just spend a few more minutes with the science. And understand fat, obesity. Look at picture number 13. Picture number 13 is showing a man with a fat belly. A guy that's what we would call obese. Picture number 13 clearly shows a macrophage. Now, we've discussed macrophages before. We're going to discuss macrophages again. If you look at picture number 17... Gee, you know, if you're listening to this show without the computer because you can't, then don't. But when you get home, listen to the show. And I hope if you're home, you're computer literate enough to listen to the show with a computer. Look at that picture, picture 17. Look at that beautiful animal there, the macrophage, with its tentacles shooting out. Don't you love the computer graphics? Look at that other picture, picture number 18, that big blue blob on top of all those bacterias. Masterful. What we can do now, what technology can do for us, what the computer can do for us. Take that in. Now go back to picture 13 and look at the fat guy. He's got a macrophage, and that macrophage is looking at the fat. Fat has macrophages in it, normally. They're supposed to be there. Macrophages are the policemen. They sweep it and clean it all up. And that macrophage is in there patrolling your fat. And that macrophage, if you're fatter and fatter and fatter, multiplies itself. Then you've got much higher concentrations of macrophages. Now, the problem is macrophages begin the inflammatory cascade. A macrophage is a big, strong, tough, durable cop, a police officer that patrols the street, that goes into the hood, that goes to high crime areas. They patrol it. They're in the first line of defense. And they're not afraid to go for it. They're not afraid to pull the club and crack your head open. Macrophages are aggressive. But if there are too many macrophages, if the terrain, meaning there's more fat, signals the macrophage starts to go crazy, and it begins the inflammatory cascade, and other immune system cells come in. B lymphocytes, tumor necrosis cells, killer T cells, a whole slew, eosinophils, all these other troops, the FBI, the CIA, NSA, everybody joins in, and these little integers are made called cytokines. That's the problem. Fat means cytokine production. Cytokines go to your cells and interfere with insulin reception. Insulin resistance is based on cytokine production, which is based on an inflammatory process, which obesity accelerates many, many, many times, which high blood sugar accelerates many, many, many times. High blood sugar does two things. High blood sugar does what? We just discussed it. It destroys your intracellular glutathione. High blood sugar does what? It makes you insulin resistant, because high blood sugar enhances macrophage aggressivity, which makes more cytokine, which blocks insulin. So high blood sugar creates insulin resistance. High blood sugar decreases intracellular glutathione. And insulin resistance creates its own cycle. It's a mess. Yeah, it's a mess. And yet, guess what? You have been designed by God to get up every morning with normal blood sugar after a couple of hours. And you can do this when you're 10, when you're 20, when you're 30. Remember your teens? Remember growing up, a hard day at the track, downing three or four Cokes, a couple of slices of pizza, maybe some candy and donuts, getting that little high, getting a little sluggish, and then what? Remember those dinners, and then you'd go upstairs to study your lessons, and within half an hour, you were asleep, and then with 1 hour, you woke up again. Back in the good old days, before you became insulin resistant. Lots of us live pretty well with this terrible cycle, but not at 35, or not at 40, or 45, at 50. And by the time then we gain weight, which you will, as the insulin spikes, you gain weight. So it's a cycle. Everything you do produces something else that reflexes back into everything you do. And you spin round and round and round. And this is why on your wedding day, you're one straight line of beauty. And by the time you're 50, you're one crooked line and you're a mess. That's right. That is the sad, awful truth. And then you're told, in all your dejection and subliminal anguish, you're told there's nothing that can be done. You deserve better. There is a second childhood on the way. You've had your kids and you're an adult. You're a grandmother. You're single because that marriage didn't work out. You're sick and you're sick of being sick. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici, Straight Talk on Health. Get to the website, straighttalk.cc. Tell your friends. Spread the word. I'm so proud to say I've got people coming to this site from all over the world. From Polynesia, from Europe, from Japan, from India, from South Africa. And the numbers grow, and it's beautiful. Because it's just a tidbit of money. And these shows turn into checklists. Just apply yourself. Go out and get medical supervision and apply yourself. Take the literature to the people that take care of you, medical doctors included, and ask them to join. Because they will. Because it makes sense. Because it's not a myth. Because it's a reconfiguration of holistic medicine. It's a far cry from drop this pill and look for the miracle, because that doesn't work enough times. It's a cry and a call to the reality of healing. From lifestyle changes to using herbs when herbs are appropriate. So look at that page there. Look at that page and understand what we're saying. Obesity creates insulin resistance. Picture 20, obesity creates heart disease. Now, here's the point. The point is, if your blood sugar is high, you're going to get up in the morning and you're not going to eat. You're going to get up in the morning and you're not going to eat. And you're going to wait until your blood sugar drops. And then you're going to go exercise. And when you exercise, you're going to exercise until your blood sugar gets to 80. And then you're going to sit down and rest, and then you're going to have a meal. And when that meal is finished, your blood sugar is still going to be 80 because you're going to only eat foods that stabilize your blood sugar. And next week, what I'm going to do is start the show with a solution. Because the solution is to eat low glycemic foods, carbs included, so that you can guarantee yourself that after you exercise, after you get up, after your blood sugar is 80, that the dinner, that the lunch, that the breakfast you eat will maintain your blood sugar. And that's called resetting your thermostat. That's not what they teach you to do. They teach you to get up with your blood sugar at 140 and then to eat and then to exercise. And all day long, your thermostat's up in the 120s, 130s. You're going to change that. I'm going to get into the specifics next week. We're going to start the show next week with a more in-depth presentation and an understanding of how to teach your body to cure your diabetes without herbs, just with food changes, a little exercises, and some understanding. Listen to the show again. If you're really lost and you're just too complicated, you got the number 714-850-1007. I've had a ball. I hope you have. I'll see you next week. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.